purple. Just listen to the sweet sounds from a time long ago. Music that I never knew existed, but it did. And this week we'll celebrate that coming up next Friday. But for now, we're going to celebrate the Talkin' Bear Football Podcast right here on WestBranchFootball.com, powered by Hoot Project. Along with Matt Shenander, I am Jason Miller. We're going to talk West Branch versus West Liberty in a Bear 49-3 victory. What a game it was, and not just because of the score. So many things, so many storylines. We talked about it last week, how this is one of those games, no matter what it usually says for one team's record or what it says for the other team's record, you can throw it out because these teams have played for a lot of years. A lot of these games were played back when that music was on the radio, Matt Shenander. But 49-3, give me some of your initial thoughts of that football game.
Well, it was a bit of a slow, rough first half, mainly with penalties for the Bears. They're getting a lot of flags, just holding, false starts, offsides, that kind of stuff. So, just a little bit of things for that the team's going to need to clean up over this week. But huge third quarter. I believe the Bears scored 28 points in that quarter alone and really pulled away from West Liberty. So that second half was a great second half, and that's kind of the Bear football we're used to seeing.
14-3 was the halftime score. West Branch actually came out, won the opening toss, took the football, and ran only about two or three separate plays, because let's be honest, the way this offensive line can control a line of scrimmage a lot, the way they have in the first two games, you can run one or two plays and probably get away with it. About a 12-play, actually it was a 12-play, 80-yard drive after a touchback, which, what a great kick that was. 80 yards, 12 plays, 7 minutes and 6 seconds later, West Branch leads 6-0. Devin Kent, an extra point, who's Mr. Automatic this year, 13 out of 13 on the season, which, as sports information director, you'd think I'd have this information readily available in my head. That's got to be close to a consecutive extra point record. I can guarantee in the first two games of a season, that's got to be
rare.
Top 1, 2, or 3 in the history of West Branch football program. But it's not just his kicking. You got to think about the snap, the hold, the line blocks, and everything. So a lot of things going into that.
Yeah, McElrath has good snaps. Just as well as he snaps it to Lamont, he's snapping it well to Aspelmeyer as well. And Stickhand Sammy catches it and puts it in a good spot for Kindon to kick it through.
Well, if it's anywhere near his hands, he's going to catch it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because Stickhand Sammy comes by it honest. Honestly. Mm-hmm. It was 7-0. Bears then gave up a field goal on their next drive, scored a touchdown that was called back on a clipping penalty, ended up taking it in for the 14-3 lead at halftime. They are very motivated coming out of halftime.
Yeah.
Motivation can take you a lot of places. It could come from many different directions. And unfortunately for West Liberty, it was coming from every direction. Mm-hmm. West Branch defense was pitching it. West Branch offense was knocking it out of the park. 28 third quarter points, as my partner Matt Shenander mentioned. Those 28 points came in 5 minutes and 45 seconds. The first 5 minutes and 45 seconds of the third quarter, we go from 14-3 to 42-3, and it was over.
And I believe 21 of those points were off of turnovers, if I'm not mistaken. A Hunter Wargo interception, I believe a Travis Wolf fumble recovery, and was there another one in there? McElrath had the other interception.
Big Matty Ice, he was bumbling, didn't quite have the speed, he said.
About got there.
Yep, he said, I didn't have the speed to make it, so I just had to run over the guy. And boy, did he got it to the 4. I
suppose that was in the fourth quarter, though.
That was in the fourth quarter to make it 49. After that, Mr. Lenock, Luke Lenock, came in, and from 4 yards out, he barreled in for his third touchdown of the night. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back gains with 3 touchdown runs, 30 carries, 182 yards, that's 372 yards of memory serves, 190 and 182 is 372, is that correct?
Yes.
In two games. So we're averaging 186 yards from him rushing.
And I believe in the first half he had
23 carries for 122.
A good majority of the Bears' offensive plays in the first half was just Lamont handing it off to Lennox and see what happens.
Speaking of Mr. Lamont, he was 7 out of 12 in the passing department for 100 yards even and one touchdown, that pass being to Nick Westcott, had two catches 40 yards, one of them being a 33-yard touchdown in the third quarter to clean up the scoring there at 42-3. Mr. Westcott played a whale of a game on defense yet again, along with many help from teammates, but a guy I'm going to bring up real quick, Matt. I don't want to real quick. Let's talk about him. Travis Wolf. I almost said Taylor, which is his sister's name, and that would be embarrassing for him. She was a great athlete at West Branch in her own right, but not a football player. But Travis Wolf, number 28 for the Bears on defense, getting a start this year as a senior, getting a chance, the opportunity to play a defensive end position.
He's taken every advantage of it, too.
He is, and that's what you want. A, he's a senior. He's been there for 3 years, seen what's going on in front of him, worked hard in the offseason in the weight room, and he's taking advantage of it. And last night, he led the Bears in tackles with 9. Mm-hmm. But all in all, 2 games so far on defense for the West Branch combined. 2 games, obviously they've had 2 games on defense and offense, but 2 games so far. The first game, West Branch gave up 122 yards of total offense. This game, they gave up 115 yards of total offense to a 2A football team.
Yeah, the defense has just been incredible so far, which is great to see because, you know, as we've seen at any level of football, defense takes you places. I mean, even think about the Iowa game on Saturday, you know. Without that defense, that would have been an ugly game. And it translates over in the NFL as well. So it's good to see the Bears defense being so stout, even in the beginning of the season. And the exciting part is that the offense has been kind of up and down throughout these last 2 games. And once that gets clicking, it's, you know, bad, I wouldn't say bad news Bears, but bad news for the team that playing. The Bears are playing. Yeah.
I think you're on the right track there boss. But let's break it down a little bit defensively. You talk about how that defense, it gets clicking. Yeah, people are going to talk about usually when you're in high school football, the leading tacklers are usually going to be your linebackers mm-hmm. or your outside, your defensive ends. And that holds true. As I mentioned with Travis Wolf last night, had 9 total tackles, or on Friday night. Mr. Finnegan and Mr. Matt McElrath had 7 and 6, respectively. But the things that I think that the Bear defense this year has that it hasn't had in a while are a couple of big road graders right up front. Usually have the road grading done on offense for the running backs. But when they're gapping, when you got 2 6'3", 6'4", 270-pound guys up there in the front that are able to plug gaps to make no holes whatsoever for running backs to go to. They got to bounce. Linebackers are going to clean them up.
Exactly, yeah. The defensive end and the linebackers are going to have a bunch of tackles this season, as we've already seen so far, because you've got Big John St. John and Jacob Giese there in the interior, where the backs, even whether it's running back, fullback, quarterback carrying it, they have to bounce it outside because there's no room up the middle for them to go. And boom, there's the defensive ends and linebackers coming around the edge to stop them right there. And they have 2 corners come in and get them as well. So,
and you know, Big John, I call him the sack man. Likes to be called the sack man as his nickname. Hasn't had one this year. But you know, last night in the second half, I'm talking to John on the sideline. Big John, I'm doing the gator chomp. Sack man, you need to start chomping up. He goes, oh, yeah, I do. I need to get one. Now, he goes in for 1 more defensive set, and he gets a tackle for loss. He had 3 tackles. 2 of them were solo tackles for loss. Yeah. The other was an assist tackle for loss. So he had 2.5. He had 3 total tackles, 2.5 for loss, which is basically a quarterback sack, if you want to think about it, without the quarterback being involved. So Big John did his job. Jacob Giese had 5 tackles. 2 of them were tackles for loss. Actually, 1 total tackle for loss. 2 assisted tackles for loss. Let's talk about our defensive backfield on Friday night's game, Matt. 3 interceptions. You know, in recent memory, I can't recall there being 3 interceptions. I can recall there being a team, us having 3 interceptions in a game. But I can't recall there being 3 interceptions by 3 different guys. 2 defensive backs, Hunter Wargo had 1. Mason Hayes could have called fair catch on 1, no offense to the West Liberty quarterback, but he could have called fair catch. He tried to take off, and then somebody kind of hornswaggled or, I don't know what they call that, horse collar, kind of grabbed him and buggy whipped him to the ground. He's fine. But he came off the sidelines, and again, he's like, I got this. He puts his hand up and starts waving at me like a fair catch signal. That's why I brought that up, that he could have fair caught it. So it's kind of funny, but he got his. And then Matty Ice, we've already talked about him getting his later in the game, but 3 interceptions. Defensive backfield coach Matt Hills was talking and preaching this week in practice about your time's going to come. Stay with your keys. Stay with your keys and big things are going to happen. And that's just that's cliche, but that's defense.
Yeah, and you know, as much as we've talked about the linebacking crew and then the defensive line, I mean, for this team to go far, that secondary and the cornerbacks and safeties, they're going to have to be just as good as that front seven is. Because, you know, I like I mentioned earlier, defense is going to take you places, but every aspect of that defense has to be good. And especially when you start playing, and I've mentioned it several times before on the show, but once you start playing teams that can, you know, have a decent passing game, that's where we've seen a lot in high school football, where defenses get torn apart is just by good passing teams, and teams can just march right down the field at will just by passing the ball. So as long as these the defensive backs on the Bears play at the level they did last night, it's going to be a good season.
You know, they talk about when you're on a basketball court, pounding the rock. Now, the more you dribble in a half court set, the more trouble you can get into. The quicker you can pound the rock through the pass, you can get defenses out of position. Well, the Bears can pound the rock on the ground. Pounding the rock in football is pounding the rock. Give it, here's 5 yards. Here's five more yards. Adds up to 10. That's a first down, by the way. In most games of football, 10 yards is a first down. First and 10, do it again. West Branch can pound the rock. We talked about the first drive, 12 play, 80 yards. But last night, again, Luke Lennox, 30 carries for 182. That's 6 yards a carry. You know, 1A football, the better backs are going to average 8, 10 yards a carry. But my gosh, he was pounding the rock. He came off the sideline and said, give me some more. Give me some more. He wanted it more. He wanted the rock more, but he also wanted his backfield mate, Devin Kennan, to get some carries. Last night, Lucas Lamont showed up. Had an 18-yard touchdown carry around right in the third quarter. Also had a 2-yard quarterback sneak in the second quarter to give the Bears their second touchdown.
Yeah, he had two of those on the night. Both of them were the Bears had the ball down at the 1-yard line, and it was just kind of a hurry up, get up there, silent sneak kind of play, and Lamont barreled in.
Yeah, and those are plays a quarterback, you know, when you're not having, he said it himself, he goes, I wasn't at my best game, but the most important thing is our team got a victory. That's a leader. That's what a leader does. Looking back at some of these stats, some other stats in this game, Matt talked about the penalties in the first half. The Bears went to halftime with 10 penalties for 90 yards in the first half. Second half, I believe one penalty, like 5 yards in the second half, I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong, as I know you're looking at the stats right now. Make sure and correct me if I am wrong, but I think that's pretty close. Maybe one. They had 11 total penalties, I think, for the game. And if they had 10 at half that plus one, that would be carry the one. 11. That'd be 11. So that means they really cleaned it up. And you know what? We talked with Coach Peterson about some of the keys from Friday night's game and about how the Bears kept their cool in the face of some adversity and cleaned things up, shorted up in the second half. Here's what Coach had to say.
Friday, I thought the officiating was extremely poor in the first half. And as we looked at the game tape on Saturday, there were a lot of things that we did that were wrong. And we have to clean that up. And I thought we lost our control a little bit as far as reacting to some of the calls. You know, it is what it is. If they make a bad call, there's not much you can do about it. And so those are some areas mentally I think we need to improve on. In the second half, you know, we basically told them at halftime, you know, go out there, relax, get yourself refocused, take care of the football, decrease the number of penalties, and decrease the turnovers, and we'll win the game very easily. And that's exactly what happened.
And I think sort of a carbon copy, if you look at the statistical breakdown of both games, scores are pretty similar. Offense, pretty similar. Pretty balanced in the first and second games. Defense, statistically, they're 7 yards, 122 yards given up the first game, 115 on Friday night against West Liberty. So all facets of the game seem to be playing fairly well right now. Special teams played very well on Friday as well.
I think except for the penalties in the first half, I thought the offense did a very good job. We had a lot of yardage, pushing in on 400. In two games we played so far defensively, we've been very, very solid. I didn't think we ran to the ball quite as well in the second half as we did the first half on defense, and we need to do that this week against the team we're going to be playing. And Terry Roush has done an excellent job with the special teams. They've played as good as they have early in the season for a long time.
He's proud of how this team on offense has been able to, they're able to run it, they're able to sling it, and on defense they held another 2A football team to 3 points, 115 yards. didn't lose their cool in the face of some adversity in the second half. Mm-hmm. And that's what a good team, when you get down to it later in the year, that's what a team is. And if it's a successful football team, they're going to do those things.
Yeah, at the end of the game, when Coach Peterson was talking to the players, you know, that was the biggest thing that he was proud of the whole night, where they did not lose their cool at all in that game. Is like you said, in the midst of some adversity, just from some actions on the other side of the field from the other team.
And we won't get into that.
Yeah, specifics. I'm not at all. Yeah. But you know, the Bears held their cool, and that's good to see the maturity of the kids in that aspect. It's very good.
All right, first half, way too many penalties. Did not have ball security. We told you to keep your composure at halftime, come back, cut down your turnovers, cut down your penalties. Look what happened. The number one thing I'm most proud of is you didn't retaliate. You learned a life lesson tonight about you're a bigger man, you turn away, you walk away, and you don't allow that to the body. I give you guys a nice hand.
And a side note, if for those of you that weren't at the game that were able to listen to the Bearcast on Friday night, WestBranchFootball.com's play-by-play with Mike Quinlan and Stephen Grace. You were treated to a treat, for lack of a better way of saying it. Stephen Grace is a wonderful asset, I think, to the team, and with his vast knowledge and experience of broadcasting, and just his mere just passion for West Branch football and the community of West Branch, it adds just an extra special touch to something that's already neat. And we want to thank you again. So far in 2 weeks, we're averaging around 80 to 100 listeners. That's pretty impressive for something that's just starting. You know, you're thinking only 80 people listened. But this is a community of 2,000 people, 2,200 people. And say you got 300 people at a game. Mm-hmm. You've got other people that got family things. But you throw that 100 in. That's 400 out of 2,000 people. That's 20% of a population that are either watching the game with their eyes or listening to the game with their ears. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Nice statistic there. But Matt, let's look back a little bit here. Picks to click were whom? Who were they?
I had Matt Shaver.
I had Lucas Lamont. Between you and I, unfortunately for you, I think I get the nod this week. But on the whole, again, last week we picked them and we thought we had two picks to click. Obviously the Bear team. But as an individual, we decided in week one that it was Devin Kendon. was the true pick to click that clicked. Mm-hmm. And this game, you know what? Who do you think, you know, we don't want to pick, well, I guess we're going to pick someone out.
Right.
But on the whole, the team clicked again. But if you had to look back at it, who really was the pick to click? And I think it's obvious.
Well, if I could say the whole defense, I would. But, I mean, once again, Luke Lennox just put on a show this week. It's just incredible what he's been able to do, and I just only see him getting better.
And that's a sophomore. A sophomore. Just starting to get his feet warm into the deep end of this thing called varsity football as a running back, toting it play by play every game. Last year he got a little taste. Mm-hmm. But this year he's the man. SES. You know, don't ever let me record music. That would be a bad thing for you. At any rate, I think that we're in agreement on that. I think it was obvious, and I hate singling out, but you know what? 30 bone-crushing carries, 3 touchdowns. Lucas Lamont could have been in the argument, too. A lot of guys could have been. Personally, I mean, if you're looking at defense, slobber knockers.
Yeah.
Early on, Austin Black had a hit coming on the Bears sidelines. The pass was thrown out. They could feel that one down at JB's over on the east side of town out there by Subway in West Liberty. They could feel it. That was a hit. And later on in the fourth quarter, there was a pass that was tipped that if he was about 5 yards behind it, that had his, you know, if he was really thick, head up, going to try to get the pick, he probably could have got it. Mm-hmm. He said, I wanted to catch it because I really wanted to put a hit on it. Again, he likes to hit. That's what Coach Peterson says. I want people that hit.
Yeah.
And when a kid comes off the sideline, he could have got a pick but didn't want it. He would rather lay a hit on somebody cleanly. We're not trying to say he's trying to hurt anybody, trying to twist ankles in the bottom of a pile or anything. That's not his style. Another guy that had a slobber, Mason Hayes, had a big one. Big slobber knocker, number 3, Mason Hayes. Purple Hayes. Next week, by the way, on that note, we'll get to that. The throwback game with the purple jerseys, #MasonPurpleHayes for next week. At any rate, But those were a couple of things that stood out to me, and I think I saw Devin Kenden continues to lay the wood at the blocks. Mm-hmm. Matty Ice had some hits. I mean, it could go down the line, but I think just all in all, another good defensive output when you're only giving up 118 and a half yards in two games. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So, Jason, looking forward here to West Burlington Notre Dame, who we have next week, first home game of the year. What have you seen from them so far, and what are your expectations?
First of all, it's a 1-1 football team. They won their first game after being down 16 points to Fort Madison, a 3A school, and West Burlington Notre Dame is a 2A school. Down 16 points, come back to win that football game. Quarterback Brant Reed, by the way, the son of West Branch Assistant Principal Dean of Students Jeff Reed, that's his son, threw for 347 yards in the first game. I haven't had the opportunity to look at statistics for the second game, but last night they lost mm-hmm. to Keokuk, another 3A football team. If you know anything about Southeast Iowa, when you get along the river south, there really aren't very many schools that are in the 2A, 1A class. They're either 3A or A or 4A. I mean, there's mm-hmm. really nothing on the in-between, the West Branch size or the West Liberty size. They're all kind of in that small barrier. But thinking last night, they lost 23-6 to Keokuk. Keokuk has a good program. They aren't, I wouldn't call them one of the better programs in their class, but they're a solid program. They win a lot of football games. West Burlington Notre Dame on paper and on film, very, very fast football team. Last year in the state 2A class, boys state class, class 2A state track meet. If Monticello wasn't there with five guys who were in the top 20 times in cross country last year and dominate the 3,200, the 1,600, the 4x8, and the 800, getting 1-2 in those and literally walking away from everybody in the field, go to second place, you got West Burlington Notre Dame with four Brant Reed, the Williams boys. You're going to hear a lot about those guys. Very, very fast, man. You got three, four kids that can run an 11-1, 11-200 or better at this sort of level.
Dangerous.
You're going to open some eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, just one, like, if you miss one play, if you take a breath, gonzo, forget about it. You're not catching up. Mm-hmm. And that's where the most important thing to that, again, we talked about with Coach Hills, said it, all the coaches preach it, keys. Defensive ends, keys. Don't let them get to the outside. Keep them inside. Keep them in that box. Keep mm-hmm. them, make them come at your strength. Mm-hmm. Make your defensive back, keep them in front of you. Make the kid try and hurt you with his arm, but with pressure on him. See mm-hmm. if a quarterback can put some pressure on him and see how he does. Mm-hmm. And that's not a detriment. That's just what you want to do.
So are we going to see some spread offense, hurry up, no huddle offense type things?
I think that's exactly what you're going to see. I think the Bears are going to be facing a lot of 3 and 4 wide sets, sometimes even 5. But they're going to see a single back. You have to go single back with this team with that speed. Mm-hmm. Looking at the film, they're going to have a single back. They're going to bring some motion, run some jet sweeps, something that Iowa struggled with on Saturday. but they're going to bring a guy in motion to try to get a running start with a kid that's running 11 flat 100 or 4.5 40. Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the other guys are starting from a standstill trying to catch up. But you're going to see that. You're going to see him, the quarterback, Brant Reed, trying to make quick reads, trying to get the ball in his playmaker's hands quick to try to get him running upfield. Because if you keep a guy like that, a speed quarterback, in the pocket, you're just wasting his strengths. Mm-hmm. A quarterback, you're wasting strengths. So a speed quarterback, he wants to get the ball out quickly, or he wants to get out of dodge quickly and start running upfield.
Yeah, it's going to be very important this Friday for the defensive end to keep containment, outside linebackers to come off the edge and keep the play inside. And if it does bounce outside, it's going to be important for the cornerbacks and safeties to shed some blocks and come in and make some tackles. So I think as long as the defense can keep the play, you know, within the hash marks would be great, or within the numbers, they're going to be pretty successful in stopping the Falcons.
Now, some names you want to keep a track of. I've already mentioned Brant Reed, the quarterback. I mentioned the Williams brothers. Tim Williams is the running back. He'll also catch a pass or two out of the backfield or put him in the slot. Xavier Williams, you want to keep that name. The first game, I mentioned Brant Reed had 327 throwing. I believe Mr. Williams had 200, a little over 200 yards receiving. I need to pull that up on quick stats, but it's something like he had 8 or 9 catches for like 210. I mean, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's 25 yards a grab.
Would be interesting to see how many yards after catch it is there.
And he had three touchdowns, I believe, receiving. All Brant Reed, 327. He had three touchdowns and no interceptions. I should have pulled that up, guys and gals out there, but I've got the West Branch stats, and I'm trying to get back to the quick stats. But the important thing to remember, we talked about the things you're going to need to watch out for. Speed. Number two, speed. And then three, speed.
Speed.
I think speed.
Yeah,
speed. Speed is their forte. Mm-hmm. And you can't let a team with speed get confidence. Because when they're running and running and running, running, and they'll keep running. And you can't catch up to speed if you don't have the speed to match.
Yeah.
Not saying West Branch doesn't have speed, because they really do have some good team speed. But it's a different kind of speed.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that's going to be the interesting thing to watch, to see how these two very different style teams, how they match up against each other. As you mentioned, yes, West Branch has some speed, but West Burlington, Notre Dame, they're going to have speed.
Yeah, it's a lot of speed.
And West Branch has got the power, so it's going to be kind of a power on speed matchup. And so it's going to be important for those linebackers and D-backs to make sure they wrap up their tackles and make those tackles.
Now, moving forward a little bit to West Burlington, Notre Dame, 1-1 on the year. They came back their first game. They beat Fort Madison, a 3A football team, came back from 16 points down to win that. Friday night, not the same outcome. They lost to a 3A football team in Keokuk, 23-6. They are, speaking of West Burlington, Notre Dame, are a very fast football team. Speed is really what they can predicate their game plan upon, and it all focuses on the quarterback, Brant Reed.
There's no question about it. They have six kids that can run under 11 flat in the 100-meter dash, and I think they were second in the state last year in track, and they're a spread team. They're going to run quads. They're going to run empties. They're going to run a lot of things, and they're going to press the corner with Reed, and they have a tremendous amount of speed. This is the fastest football team that I've ever coached against. As far as the skill positions are concerned, they're going to be a handful.
And what are some of the things that, the old adage, speed kills. What are some of the things that you can do really to contain a team with speed from a defensive standpoint?
Well, you're just going to have to make sure that you get good matchups against some of their better people, and you're going to have to pressure the quarterback. I mean, you can't let him stand back there and break the pocket and run around and scramble, because he has the ability to do that. So we're going to have to make sure that we have a picket fence out there, and we try to keep him behind that picket fence.
Some other points of this game, if we take away the teams involved, but I think a special thing going on this week, Coach Peterson's been planned for about a year now, the throwback football game. The team's going to wear purple jerseys to honor the 40s polar bears of the 1940s and beforehand. It used to be purple and white at West Branch. Going to be, so people don't want to adjust their eyes because the jerseys are going to be purple. Kind of, what are some of your feelings upon when Kathy McElrath and a few other people came together to bring this really special occasion Friday night in West Branch?
Well, I think it's a great tribute to people in the past that have played West Branch football. I think sometimes school districts forget about people in the past, and I don't think you should do that. And we'll see some familiar faces down there in the field. There's not a lot of polar bears left, probably, but there'll be some down there in the field, hopefully, and they'll be able to reminisce a little bit and feel good about themselves and see those purple jerseys. I know for one, Jake Rummels is going to be there, and he always has a story or two to tell. It's very colorful in nature normally, and he'll be down there somewhere talking to somebody, and I think that's important to remember people just like Jake and all the other people that played polar bear football.
And then back to the game on Friday. It's nice, two road victories against two quality opponents. Nice to get back on your home field.
Oh, I think that first game that you play back in your home field is always a real upbeat for the kids. They're extremely excited. I know that right now. We're very anxious to see what we can do against this 2A football team, and it's going to be a big challenge for us, and that's part of our growing process this year as we get through our schedule, because the next week we play North Cedar, probably the team that's favored to win the district. So we got a couple tough weeks coming up, and I'm anxious to get the kids back and get after them again.
Coach, what's your impression so far of Luke Lenock? I think through the two games this season, he's got 390-some yards combined, 7.6 yards a carry, and 5 touchdowns. We thought he was going to be good, but did you think he was going to be this good and be able to replace Michael Gould like he has?
He has tremendous vision. He's got excellent vision. He's a very good cutback runner. He catches the ball out of the backfield. So, yeah, I thought he was going to be pretty good. And I think Devin Kenyon is going to be pretty good, too. Both those two kids make our backfield a pretty balanced set. And then Lucas's ability to throw the football is very, very sound at that as well. And we have a bevy of receivers. I mean, a lot of kids can catch the football for us. So we're pretty balanced on offense.
And I think it's all predicated upon, and I keep using the word predicated, but really true, it is. You've mentioned this throughout the preseason and throughout the first 2 weeks, and we've mentioned it on the podcast. Is the offensive line is where it all starts anyway. And to get these guys open holes, to get Lucas time to throw the ball to that wide variety of receivers, the size and the strength that these kids have front are really going to paint the fence so far as the offense goes.
And then there's no question that you win football games with your offensive line and your defensive line. If you can really solidify those two areas, you're going to be a pretty strong football team. We had a couple kids I didn't think played very well offensively, and they'll be looked at again this week, and one might even be replaced. So we'll have to wait and see. But they're going to have to get off the football and get after people and get a push up front. And I know Jared was very disappointed in the first half, and he's an excellent offensive coordinator, and he'll adjust some things, and good things will happen Friday night offensively.
Well, I know you're ready to get a home football game. I know you're ready to play this quality opponent. Just looking at some of the side notes you've talked about, I think it's going to be a fun football game, Coach. And this is, if you can't get up for a game like this, and all the things are going to be a part of it, specifically being a home game and a throwback game and against a quality opponent, I don't think you're up for football to watch it at all.
Well, I would totally agree with that. If you don't come to the little Rose Bowl with kind of a little butterfly in your tummy on Friday night, I'm not sure why you should be there in the first place.
Well, Coach, thanks a lot for joining us. Have a great game on Friday.
So let's tie it up a little bit more. Start to put the bow on the present here before we put it on the tree. I talked about some of the keys that we're looking for West Burlington. But let's talk about the game as a whole. Mm-hmm. Some of the things going on behind the scenes and, well, in front of everybody, in front of the camera as well. This game marks a first in the program's history. The Bears are doing a throwback. They're calling this first annual throwback game. The Bears are going to be wearing purple jerseys, so don't adjust your eyes. Don't call your eye doctor for an appointment. Yes, they're going to be wearing purple and white jerseys to pay tribute to the West Branch Polar Bears, who played up until
World War II.
Up until World War II was going on, early to mid 1940s. By the way, hence the 40s music at the beginning of this show, that the Bears were purple and white. They were the Polar Bears. And so we're going to celebrate that. Jake Rummels, who is the uncle of former Bear offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, Larry Lurch Rummels, is going to be on hand. And we're certainly going to give him, his due, an applause of appreciation for him and his teammates, and just applauding some of the Bear greats of old. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a fun night. But, on top of that, it's the first time the Bears get to actually play a home game. The Little
and
Rose Bowl.
And under the new lights.
And under the lights! Hey, kids, look at the lights!
And they're going to come out of fog machine, too.
And there's going to be a fog machine. So, again, don't adjust your eyes. You're going to see, what's going on in that corner? I see smoke. And all of a sudden, people are running out of it. Yes, the Bears are going to have fog machines. It's going to be sick. It's going to be sick, as the kids say. Off the chain, what?
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what is that, Jason? Where are you going there?
I don't know.
But fog machines, celebrating the 40s. Another thing I'm probably going to, just so you all know, on or about September 12th, 1919, West Branch Quick Mac, 95 years ago, the Little Rose Bowl was created by horses pulling plows behind them and making an amphitheater. In fact, Coach Peterson tells the story of how across the street, there was no school then. There was just an open field with a pond. And that's where other, practice and other things were going on. And that's where Hoover School Elementary now sits. In 1949, they brought equipment in and cut it deeper. They dug it out deeper to give it an even more amphitheater look. And it was rededicated the Little Rose Bowl in 1949. It was Oliphant Street Field beginning in 1919. It was rededicated as the Little Rose Bowl in 1949, which is 65 years ago. We'll stick with that every 5 years theme. So that's another side note on this. But I really think that the throwback jersey thing is to pay tribute, to honor bear greats of old, the polar bears, who kind of overnight went from purple to white because the army, the military ran out of purple dye, and overnight went red-white. And all of a sudden, as Jake Rummels told me a couple weeks ago, he said, yeah, we're purple and white. We were the polar bears. And all of a sudden, we're red and white. All of a sudden, I wake up, we're the bears. No more polar. Well, good news. I don't want the polar stuff. You can keep that cold stuff. The polar bears, is no disrespect to that. It's just, you know, it's kind of neat to hear some of these stories, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun night just to, you know, honor all the past teams. You know, the team wearing the purple, they've got the polar bear stickers on their helmets that they've been wearing all year and will be wearing all year. The team has been selling the throwback game shirts, so everybody's going to have purple shirts, and it's going to be very cool. And I just hope that, you know, as interesting and neat as the whole night's going to be, it's going to be important for the players just to stay focused on the game and make sure that they don't lose focus, obviously, and pay attention to all the extracurriculars.
And I think the fans, a couple of side notes, talked about the purple shirts. Wear them this week coming up, but don't wear them the following week, because we'll be in Stanwood playing North Cedar. We don't want purple over there. There's going to be enough. But wear them this week. And you know what? I think everybody is going to have a good time. Going to have some great music playing over the speakers. At halftime, where the band's playing, make sure and keep an eye. Listen to the band while you're watching the screen. We're going to have a video playing of Oliphant. Some of the memories of Oliphant Street video is going to be up there with the video playing from the 1940s. Some old footage. How's that for neat? I've just had video cameras then. That's no disrespect. I just didn't know. But then again, I guess Charlie Chaplin was making movies before that. So let's wrap it up, put the bow, complete, tie the bow here, and then we are going to put it under the tree, Matt. You know, last week, I said, hey, it's no disrespect to West Liberty. I just made a bear prediction, and I said, I don't care what the situation is. I'm going to predict West Branch to win because that's what I want to happen. That's what we want to happen as a whole. And want the kids to put a good product out there, and I think they do. We need to predict a score. We do. I think we do. I'm going to predict one right now. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give Mr. Chenander the option.
I went first last time, so go ahead.
Scores, but you go first on the pick to click.
Okay, that's fine.
I get a bottle of cap. You get that, not cap, the bottle. Bottle of cap.
Yeah.
At any rate, I'm going to go West Branch 41-13. Sorry, let's go 41-13.
All right. This is tough because I feel like this is going to be a good test for the Bears just by the style of how the Falcons play. I think the offense is going to keep rolling like they have been. I think the defense is going to be a little bit of a test at first just to kind of figure out in a live game situation on how to play this team. So I'm going to go 42. I'm going to take your two from you.
Jerk.
And 42-21 Bears.
That was going to be similar to what I was going to say originally. It's 42-20. So you're on deck there. Mm. You got it, Captain. Mm. So it's going to be a battle for that plateau.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that one out of the way. So we both feel the Bears are going to win. I feel the Bears are going to win every game. That's just the way I am. They lose, they lose. That's going to happen once in a great while. You got to lose. There's only going to be one team every year that doesn't lose their last game. So let's just put it that way. Only one team in 1A goes in with at least a one-game winning streak.
First pick to click.
Pick the click. We'll say it's the true pick to click this week.
I am going to go on the defensive side.
All right.
And choose Drew Finnegan.
Drew Finnegan. He also throws blocks on offense, but statistically, you don't put that in the paper unless they're pancake blocks.
But specifically, the defensive side. I feel like he's going to be able to come off the edge and help stop that spread and fast West Burlington offense.
Well, let's keep that speed in mind. Who's the fast kid on the West Branch football
team? Austin Black.
Pick the click, Austin Black. There it is, because he's going to be the guy probably having a key to guard Mr.
So
Xavier
you're
going to
say from an offensive standpoint.
From a defensive standpoint.
You're going to say defensive standpoint.
Well,
I think
it's just
it matters.
Pick to click.
I think it matters here.
I think it's a pick to click just in general. You think about that. Pick to click, Austin Black. And he's going to do some damage on special teams. All I feel something big week. Coach Terry Roos special teams played a spectacular ball game Friday night at the West Branch special teams. Unbelievable. It was great. I think, you know, every facet of the game, West Branch dominated. Unfortunately, they dominated penalties in the first half, but they shorted up, and they just dominated that game from beginning to end. And hopefully on Friday night, they come out with a victory for the home crowd. Matt, I know you're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. Wayne Ling will join Mike Quinlan on the local access television broadcast, I guess you could call it. Mm-hmm. The voice of the Bears, Mike Quinlan, will be along. We'll have Wayne Ling, who was the voice of the Bears before Mike Quinlan, who's got a long memory and history. he knows his Bear football. He's got some good memories. I'm sure they'll be fun together.
Yes, certainly. And then we're going to have Stephen Grace and, I believe, Ted Tuttle.
Ted the Turtle.
Ted Tuttle is going to join Stephen Grace on the Bearcast. So if you're not able to be at the game yourself, listen in on westbranchfootball.com.
Free of charge if you got the internet.
Yep, free of charge. We're very nice.
Yep, and we want to always, you know, as always, man, we want to thank our sponsors who have helped out the website and helped out the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, you can help me out if I miss any. We've got Hodge Construction came on board this week. Mm-hmm. We've got
the big one, Liberty Communications. Liberty. They're providing the internet connection that we need for that at all the home games. So big thanks to them on that. Also, Main Street Suites. Casa Tequila in West Branch and their other locations around the Eastern Iowa area. West Branch Times been giving us fantastic photos over the last two games, so check those out on westbranchfootball.com.
Julie Hayes and EMS photos. Detergent Services.
Yep.
Can't forget out Big Dan Bauer Drywall as well. They've been a long-standing, you know, supporter of West Branch football. And if we forgot you, it's nothing personal. Just I'm getting old. And it just happens once in a while. But we thank you, supporter. Matt, I think we got another one of the books, and it's going to be a fun week.
It's going to be a great week. First home game, always good to head back to the Little Rose Bowl. Unfortunately, again, we only have four home games this year.
Let's hope for five.
In the regular season.
In the regular season, we only got four.
Let's not look ahead.
One game at a time, right?
Yes, exactly. 1-0 each week.
1-0 each week. He stole it again.
I know.
That's two times you stole
my line. I just got to keep reminding you.
You stole my line.
You try to get ahead of yourself a little bit.
I do. And sometimes I got to pump the brakes.
I know it's exciting.
Like that Hawkeye defense. You know, they pump the brakes for the offense sometimes. They are the gas that makes that Hawkeye engine go tick. But this is talking Bear football.
Yeah.
And I think they both were, everything works together on a whole so far in these first two games. 2-0, top five football team in the state. Rankings only matter, again, on those. That's just for the fans. It's not for the teams really don't care about the rankings. They just care about who's going to be on the debit side on Friday night compared to the credit side. So 2-0 so far, Matt. And I think let's hope the Bears go 3-0, get their first home victory of the year.
Yeah, it would be very nice.
Well, alongside Matt Chenander, I am Jason Miller. I want to thank you, the fans, for joining us every week. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, the Bear fans. Thanks to the Bear football team. Congratulations being 2-0, Matt. Hopefully 3-0 after this week. And again, our sponsors, thanks. Thanks for you, the listener. Be sure to tune in at 6:45 this week. It will be
a regular 7 o'clock
kickoff this week because it's in West Branch, and that's how we roll.
Yes.
This is how we roll. So 7 o'clock kickoff Friday. That means 6:45 for the Bearcast. Stephen Grace, hopefully alongside him, will be Teddy Tuttle. I'm Jason Miller. That's Matt Chenander. You have been listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast, powered by Hoot Project. Take care, everyone.